We're continuing our series titled Life with One Another, and we are beginning to unpack what it really means to be the body of Christ and to live life in this journey with Christ, not alone, but one with another. 2 weeks ago, we saw that we are all united with Christ, and Jesus has connected us, and he has already united us as one. And yet his purpose for that is that we would be a witness to the watching world. Last week we saw that we are commanded and called to love one another. And there again we saw that to a watching world, there's a witness that happens when the world sees how the body of Christ loves one another. This week we're going to be in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And the title of this message this morning is Forgiving One Another. I want to share with you that forgiveness is an expression of love. And it's imperative and it's important that we understand that, because sometimes when we don't love or we don't see people through the eyes that God sees them with, it's very difficult, and it will also be nearly impossible for you and I to forgive them. You see, God views all people through the eyes and through the lens of love. He views all people, whether they're in a relationship with him or not, through the eyes of love. And forgiveness, the forgiveness that is expressed on the cross of Calvary, forgiveness that is given to you and to me, which is not merited, it means it's not earned, it's nothing that we can do to obtain it. It is freely given from Christ to you and to me. It is an expression of love from a holy God, a righteous God, a upright God, a just God to you and to me. And that to me is unfathomable. It's absolutely incomprehensible to me, because when I think about a holy God who has every single right to just smite me and do away with me, and he would be just in doing that, and yet he sees me, he sees you through the eyes and the lens of love. And that love is expressed through forgiveness. You know, sometimes we feel that we have to do things in order to receive what we receive from God. And we're like, you know, the little boy in Sunday school. And a Sunday school teacher had just concluded her lesson. And she wanted to make sure that she had made her point. And she said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you obtain forgiveness from sin?" There was a short interval of silence. And then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up. And he said, "Sin." You see, friends, that's where we stop and that's where we go. We think that forgiveness is only there when we sin. We think that we only receive forgiveness when we do wrong, when we fail, when we have a fault, when we have a mistake. Friends, that's not the case. Forgiveness has already been expressed. Forgiveness has already been extended. Forgiveness from Christ has already been given, and it's yours to receive, it's yours to take, it's yours to accept, if only you and I would open our hearts and receive. And then we're going to find out here in a little bit that what we do with that forgiveness should impact those individual relationships that we have, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the body of Christ, whether it's with other people, and how we interact with them. You and I, too, have the same opportunity to express that same love that God has expressed to you and to me in the form of forgiveness. And friends, that's a witness to a watching world. If there's one thing that I want Trinity to be characterized by, it's to be a forgiving church. To be a forgiving church, because we're all imperfect. Every single one of us, we all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, there's none of us that have arrived. Not one. None of us have obtained the standard that makes us acceptable in God's sight. And yet God continually opens up and says, "Here, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you," and it's there. All we have to do is receive. As I mentioned, it's really kind of funny how we think we must do something to merit or to obtain or be worthy of what God wants to give to you and me. To be saved, sometimes we can think that we must work for it. And to receive God's forgiveness, we all can tend to think we must sin. And the list can go on. And yet, friends, the fact is that God knew how desperate we all are and in need of what only he can provide and give to you and to me. The following has been said, that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. Don't get me wrong, I have the highest esteem for teachers. But then it goes and it says, if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. And here again, I have the utmost respect for science. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But friends, our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent you and me a Savior. That's what we need. The depth of our soul, the depth of our heart, the longing of our being, it cries day and night to be forgiven, to receive the forgiveness of a holy God, to make us right with an upright God. We're all in need of forgiveness. Forgiveness which is from God. Forgiveness that we don't deserve. Forgiveness that shows the heart of a Savior who yearns to provide you and me with those very elements of life that we need. It is our true, our greatest need. It always will be, and it is forgiveness. That's what calls from the depth of our being. That's what we long for, to be accepted, to be made right, to be received, to be embraced. And friends, forgiveness is free. Forgiveness is scandalous. It is costly. And this forgiveness that Jesus offers, he offers all people. Listen to the words in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we have to do is align our hearts, to align our minds, and align our desires with Jesus Christ, and then to admit to him we have fallen short, and the promise that we have from Christ the King, the risen Lord, the one who rules on the throne this day, is that he will forgive you and me. The forgiveness that we all need, the forgiveness that we all want, and the forgiveness that we all desire, and the forgiveness that we all struggle to receive. But worse yet, friends, is that when we receive that forgiveness, many times we can struggle showing that same forgiveness in our life. There's our problem. We all must admit our need and accept the standard which Jesus set forth. And namely, we will be forgiven if we show the same type of heart that Jesus showed, which is a forgiving heart. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Did you hear it? This is the Lord's Prayer, friends. We pray it here every Sunday, and there's that little phrase, that little clause in there that we are basically saying, forgive us our debts. We're saying to forgive us, O God, as we forgive others. Meaning if we withhold forgiveness from others, we are actually saying, God, O Lord, withhold forgiveness from us. And then it goes on. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. As I mentioned, we pray this every week. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The translation doesn't matter. The message is clear. We're praying to the Lord, asking him to hold us to the same standard we hold others to. To put it more succinctly, if we withhold forgiveness from others, then we are asking the Lord to withhold forgiveness from us. This is the seriousness of the subject this morning. It's vital. It's essential. It's serious. Luke records Jesus' words in the following way. Jesus said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Now listen to this last phrase. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Friends, it's serious. It's essential we grasp the meaning and hear clearly God's message to you and to me. And the message goes like this. To forgive others means we are standing in the position ready to receive God's forgiveness, which has already been granted and given. When we withhold forgiveness, we're trying to play God. We're trying to place ourselves in a position in that other person's life and judge them in such a manner that we are in no capability to judge them or to do that in their life. the Apostle Paul in Colossians. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul carried this message of Jesus, and he carried this message to two people. One was a slave and one was a master. The slave's name was Onesimus, and the master's name was Philemon. And he carried this message when he dealt with the slave Onesimus who had run away. And the apostle exhorted the slave's master, Philemon, to act accordingly as Jesus had dealt with him. Namely, Paul was encouraging forgiveness. In fact, in the first three chapters of the book of Colossians, you'll see forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness mentioned in all three chapters. Our text this morning, as I mentioned, is found in that book. And we must remember that this letter, in the day that Paul penned this, it was going to be read in front of the whole congregation. And the interesting thing is that that congregation didn't just meet at anyone's house. It met at the home of Philemon, the master of the slave Onesimus. Now, Onesimus had returned, and under the penalty of a runaway slave, the penalty would have been death. And so the Apostle Paul was exhorting Philemon, the master, who had all the power and all the control. And friends, you and I, when we are standing to forgive someone, we have all that power. We have all that control. We are in the power position. And that's what the Apostle Paul is exhorting to Philemon. He's saying, do what Jesus did for you. And Philemon was the master of Onesimus, who was his slave. And as I mentioned, Onesimus had run away, and that carried a severe, severe penalty. He had returned to Philemon, and the Apostle Paul is exhorting him to act fittingly with how Jesus would have him deal with Onesimus. If we were to read the first three chapters, it's as if we, the reader of Colossians, could say through these three chapters the following: the Father God rescued us out of the domain of darkness, and he transplanted us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And you who were dead through trespasses, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, enduring one another, and if anyone has a complaint against anyone else, forgiving each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, do also forgive. You see, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. But the qualification comes at the last of verse 13 of chapter 3. Just as you have been forgiven in Christ Jesus, so you and so I must do also. We must be quick to forgive. The message is clear for Philemon, the master of his slave Onesimus. He must forgive as he has received forgiveness from Christ. And friends, the message is clear for you and me today. We must forgive one another as we have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to just read real quick out of chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And I only want to highlight three verses from this chapter. And follow along as we read verses 12, 13, and 14 of chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Verse 13 speaks to what is required of us all, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, even if someone has a complaint against you or me. And we must do these things as Jesus forgave you and me. And that's how we are to forgive, even as Christ forgave you. The natural question for me is, when I was mulling over this over all week, is how did Jesus forgive us? How did he forgive you and me? And friends, I'm here to tell you that he forgave you and me out of his love. You see, forced forgiveness is not forgiveness at all. It's out of compunction or out of compulsion, out of duty, and it's not out of what's best in the best interest of the other person. It's not forgiveness. You see, Jesus, he says, hanging on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," out of a pure expression of love. All of us probably know John 3, verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." You see, this love that God has for all people, it moved God through Jesus to grant you and me forgiveness, to allow forgiveness to be extended for all people, the entire world, not just a specified few, but everybody. It's there to be received, to be accepted. And friends, forgiveness, motivated as an expression of love, it becomes an act of grace, and it's free for the offender, but forgiveness is very costly for the forgiver. It's important that we recognize the source of forgiveness as being love. This is why the following quote, and many of you will probably remember this, it's been said, "To err is human, but to forgive is divine." There's never, ever any time in your life or mine that you or I will ever be more like Christ is when we decide to not hold an offense against somebody and we say, "I forgive you," even when they have done us horribly wrong. We will never be more like Christ than in those moments where we could destroy a person, whether through mouth or word or whether through deed, and yet we choose to forgive and walk away. We choose to take the honorable route, the Christ-like route. You and I will never be more like Christ than at that moment. It's when we take that opportunity to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it or ask for it. Just as Jesus took the opportunity to offer you and me forgiveness when we didn't deserve it, we didn't ask for it. None of us, until we come to Christ, ask for it, and it still stands. The offer is there. Jesus died once for all for all people, and his offer of forgiveness is there. But friends, I challenge you this morning to not let unforgiveness settle in your soul. Be quick to wrestle with your thoughts and wrestle with your hurts. Seek the Lord and allow him to heal your damaged emotions. Ask God to change your heart so you can offer the same free, gracious gift you have received from Christ, which is the gift of forgiveness. I don't know where you're at this morning. I really don't. You might be here this morning in need of forgiveness from Christ. You might be in need of forgiveness from someone else. My challenge to all of us is that if you are here in need of Jesus' forgiveness, then approach the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Admit your shortcoming, admit your faults, admit your sin, your mistakes, and your failures, and ask him to forgive you. And know that the promise is when we do that, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you of your sins. But he doesn't stop there. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so, friends, approach God. He's not going to turn you away. He's going to receive you with open arms. And then once you do that, you thank Jesus for forgiving you. If you're in need of forgiveness from someone else, and my challenge to all of us is to go to that person and ask them for their forgiveness. Express your sorrow over what happened or what you did. And if they fail to hear you, you walk away clear, knowing that you did everything you could do to restore and reconcile that relationship. If they receive you, rejoice, because God has enacted a reconciled event between you and them. And so, friends, the blessing is that, as I mentioned, if they hear you, you've been reconciled. You're one. Forgiveness is costly. It can cost us our pride. It can cost us our time. It can cost us everything that we want to hang on to. But, friends, don't let it cost you the peace of mind, the peace of heart, the very peace of your soul, because that is more precious and valuable. And so don't let unforgiveness settle. May we all strive to be the kind of people who exemplify showing forgiveness as Jesus showed it for you and for me. And may we all share this type of forgiveness rooted in love for others. rooted in seeing others through the lens that God sees us through, and that's the lens of love. May we be challenged to express this wonderful thing called forgiveness, to not hold the wrongs against someone who has wronged us, against them, to let them off the hook, and to be free in our journey with Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this challenge. And Lord, we thank you for the expression of love that you shared with all of us, the forgiveness that you offered to every single person who's ever lived, every single person who will live, and you've offered it to all of us. And Jesus, we praise you for that. We stand in awe of that, for none of us are worthy, and we understand that there's nothing that we've ever done to be deserving of what you blessed us with. Oh, gracious King, precious Savior, give us the courage to do what we need to do. Give us the courage to step out to those people that we might be, you know, divided with. Give us the courage to walk in humble grace. Give us the courage to seek to be reconciled with those that we are divided from. And Father, may we all acknowledge that if we step out and they don't receive, that your word tells us that we have done everything we needed to do. And may we walk free with a clear conscience. And may we truly seek your face. Father, unite us as one. May our acts of forgiveness be a witness to a watching world. May our lives bless you and honor you, and may we truly forgive as an expression of love to all those people in our life. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. In the wonderful and the blessed and the honorable name of Christ our King, we pray. Amen.
I normally don't do this, but I'm changing the last psalm back to, Lord, I need you. I just feel like there's somebody here that needs God. I want you to know that he's here for you. So even though we don't have the PowerPoint, I think you know the words. Just focus on God if you don't know the words.
You every year.
close here today. May you know the forgiveness of Christ our King. May his forgiveness just soothe your soul. May it give you a sense of peace that goes surpassing all understanding or anything this world could ever offer to you. And may you walk with the forgiving Lord, the risen Christ, each and every day of this coming week. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may God truly keep you and bless you and honor you. Go in peace. Amen.